smoke some herb and talk the truth and go from there. I would guess that in those days, maybe 90% of the people used it in a way that was not harmful to them. Now, we see people that smoke herb and drink beer at the same time and anesthetize themselves, and maybe 90% of the people shouldn't be smoking it or shouldn't even have it with them because they do it in an inappropriate manner, which is probably the reason why it's not been made legal in the United States now, because the people who have arguments against it are right in a lot of ways. What you have to do, it seems like, is to educate people so they know the truth and they just won't do it inappropriately because it's bad for you. If man knows that something's bad for him, they're not going to do it. And they should use it appropriately, right or not at all. People use too much herb, I think. Well, even the people that smoke. They smoke enough to bring them to the moon and back. They don't need that. You know, it's just a small.
They don't need to
amount.
Go to the moon, but the America, no. Them might try to reach the moon and them not smoking. So
I guess they did it.
Maybe they should have smoked some and them would have reached the moon.
Well, maybe that's all it takes.
That's what you say, you know, bring them to the moon. But
so yeah, so I saw this go. I have defended ganja cases in America for more than 20 years, and I have, my practice has been primarily towards helping the little person against the big person, and we have tried to work to do that. That's our business now. It turns out that me and my law partner, whose name is Timothy Allen Sindelar, if you put our initials together, it's Ralph A. Smith, and Timothy Allen Sindelar spells Rastas. So we think that that we must have had some kind of calling, because that's how we were. We call Rastas earth people, people who are close to the earth. It doesn't mean that you're a Rastafarian, and it doesn't mean you're a Native American Indian. It doesn't mean you're a Buddhist. It doesn't mean that you're this and or that you're that. What it means is you're someone who's close to truth. We like and believe that that is how it ought to be. I love people from Nebraska, my home state. People there, they tell you they're going to do something. Most of the time, they do it. You can count on it. I heard an expression while here in Jamaica. They say, you can go home and you can put the water on and the food's going to come if they tell you they're going to be there. Well, that's how it is in Nebraska. Somebody tells you something's going to be that way, that's the way it is. I like working with my friends and my brethren from there, but of course, Jamaica is a magical place for a lot of people from my state.
So, you just trump up and choose Jamaica. So, why Jamaica?
It's a long story.
There's so much place. I mean, why them plant ganja in Hawaii?
Well,
Jamaica?
When I came here, it was because a law professor friend of mine had a sabbatical in Mandeville, and I came to help him move his family back. We went from there to 9 Mile to see where Bob Marley was born, because we all love the things that he did for us in the world. And when I got there, it was Memorial Day up there. It was near May 11th. And Bob Marley's mother, Sadella Booker, was there in this old building that she, it wasn't old, but it was a small building that she raised Bob in. And I got to talking with her. And as time went on, I was honored to be able to assist her in some of the legal problems that she had.
That's how long ago that? How long ago?
That was in the mid-80s, 85, 86. I got to know her for the kind and benevolent person that she was, and she spoke a lot of truth, and I've always had a great affinity for women who have done something very remarkable, and no one can deny Sadella Booker as being a very, very remarkable person.
True.
I worked here in Jamaica a little bit with Bob's estate. I got a chance to help as best I could in America with her, and consider her yet today as one of the guiding lights in my life. Subsequently, I've continued to take 9 Miles as one of my favorite places. I go there because the people there, they need a lot. But there are a lot of very, very good people there. I've had a number of boys, which I call my boys. There's 23 of them that we all have gone from there down to the sea and get cleaned up and do this and do that, who are now big men. We used to just play marbles, but now we talk, and tourists come from all over the world, you know, to come there to Nine Mile to see where this person came from. Well, hopefully we're going to be able to put together some cottage industry there that the children and the people can carve things from wood and make things from clay and tie something from a hemp plant around it and say that it came from the same place as comes one of your most famous sons. I have I've always enjoyed Jamaica for its natural way of living and the kindness that all of the people have towards people who come here. I've become quite a student of Jamaica, and of course I love it. It's a lot like Nebraska.
All right. So we come here, so now one thing. You're doing it in terms of land, right? Because we know, say, Jamaica is so varied in terms of land and what is in the soil and the land. Any of you any doing a feasibility study to say, like, which part of Jamaica you feel would be best to have like a major planting thing for plant for industrialized thing? You're making a feasibility study upon that?
I think it would grow anywhere in Jamaica.
But there are certainly some places where it would grow much better than others.
It would be up to someone to do it. So no, now we don't do no feasibility study upon that.
Yeah? Not yet, no. Yeah, yeah. But it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Of course it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
What can that hurt?
Yeah.
You know, to say, well, this particular area, because it has this much lime, mm-hmm. can grow a particular good seed crop, or this much lime can grow a short fiber crop for finer cloths, mm-hmm. or this fiber, this all of those things need yet to be done.
Well, what am I going to
tell you? The world is ahead of Jamaica. It's running full bore. They're growing hemp everywhere on the planet, in many, many countries. Not everywhere, but 5, 6, 7 countries. And they're getting a premium for their product. And Jamaica's sitting here not getting it. It just seems like the world's passing you by.
But
that's
just
to say,
like the computer thing, you know, like right. when I catch up with the vibes, and you know, it's little more you're going to hear says we have to take it from them rather than them are taking it from we.
You have to know this is a whole separate something from the Rastaman's ganja. This is a whole other thing. It's economics. It's something that can help everybody from little to big. But the country as a whole can't do anything but benefit from its use. So why not make the feasibility study? Test it, look at it, and decide.
Well, we don't do a feasibility study upon it. You know, we say it can't work.
Why is that?
Well, the Rastaman, they don't say it didn't work all the while. It's just that it didn't work for the Rastaman. And it work for the man who did export it. And it work for a certain community. But the Rasta man, they don't know, say, this thing can work and was working until these guys in the authority decide, say, they're going to kill it out. So them go to Washington and find some guys in there to bring some plane down here and kill out several hundred of the crap. Claiming said they want to wipe it out of the country.
They can't do that. It could never happen. You could never kill it out. I mean, there are things on this earth that can't die. There's no way to eradicate it. It's going to be here forever. Ganja is one of those things. It's not going to go away. There's no way to stop it. It's a weed. It grows everywhere. They can't keep it down to 500,000 acres where they try to kill it out where we live, but it can't. It gets in the streams and it rolls away and the birds eat it.
Drop the seed them
and drop the seed and it just goes everywhere. It's going to continue to grow and it's not going to stop.
But there are some places in the world that they have eradicated it. For instance, in Bangladesh. Look what they did in Bangladesh. Bong. Ganja land. That's what the name means. Ganja land.
What they did to eradicate
it? They eradicated it. And what happened? It the floods washed the land away.
Just in that
far. How did they do it? With poison or what?
They I'm not exactly
Agent
sure.
Orange.
Agent
or something
Orange
like?
Poisons, they're Babylon's toxins. They got rid of it in Bangladesh.
But they killed the earth too.
And they killed the earth too.
They can't have it.
Well, is that them don't know, because that we see now, because not only the ganja it affects. But it affects things that surround
everything.
I don't know what it do to the people their mind too. Maybe it's another Hiroshima silently go on in a Westmoreland where them go. No longer Westmoreland go do it. Because we hear say the best ganja come from Westmoreland. That is where the man them say. You know, a whole heap of man who testify to you say, boy, the best ganja down at Westmoreland it come from. So I got
that's because people been bringing seeds from around the world to give it to their brothers.
Yeah, them target Westmoreland. Them target Westmoreland continuously. And it's just so them send the plane them go. But we see where them try certain things because even the coconut in Jamaica. We used to have some tall coconut tree in Jamaica, you know. Very tall. We have to climb long, long, long. And now we don't see them in Jamaica again. Them spray something in Jamaica one time or another and kill out the whole of the coconut them and bring in some little dwarf, calling dwarf looking coconut. Where the market people, we tell you, say, this is not our native coconut. So we are saying, we don't know, the ganja business look like a dip. It will go up on the same train, you know. You see, my fear is that we have something good here, so. Right? And we now make use of it. And what's going to happen is that a guy with a multinational corporation, when certain things ease up, he's going to come now and he's going to sell the government certain argument and certain talk, and then make the government depend upon them feet. When we don't have it just already, if we deal with it, and we never did that deal with it. That is why I said, why them people, there is some wicked set of people and some stupid set of people. You know? Yeah, but it's economic, but it not take nothing. I mean, lick out some of the key and feel them.
You have plenty of places, even if you
I don't lick out of the key and feel them. Look how much land we seen I sent on you, so. Look how much land they are sent on when I use. Where you have cow pan. 4 cow upon all 2 acre land. What kind of madness?
True.
You know, see it? 2 cow. You got you gotta drive through Manig.
Mm-hmm.
And see, land like worries. And when you look, you see a little cow there, so. A little cow over there, so. A little cow over there, so. I said, but wait. Oh, so much land there, so. 3 cow there for 10 acre land. I said, what kind of thing that is wickedness?
It's very inefficient.
Yeah, you know?
To use the land to grow meat and then try to eat it and make yourself sick.
Yeah, and then you eat all the cow. You eat the cow, and look how much land there. Why don't put the cow in a little can around there, so, and then now grow the thing over there, so, and then you still feed the cow too with the same thing where you grow over there, so,
and feed yourself
too,
and use something that can renew the land, some kind of plant like ganja that makes the land strong again, puts nitrogen back in the soil instead of the grasses that doesn't do nothing but take it out.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the implication in Jamaica for the people who you say you haven't been to any of the ministers them yet? You don't talk to any of the ministers them yet. A man say any government will free up ganja, other government they are gonna stay in power. Oh, is it that?
Oh, I wouldn't begin to guess how it works here. I just know that the truth is the truth, and if you tell enough people it, they're going to have to make up their decisions as to how to go about
that.
Right. Mm. So how it's going to work?
Because you know, a man named Michael Manley, you know,
right?
When at a certain time, you know, he used Rasta doctrine for going up power, heal the man and one love and. You know, rod of correction when Silas last game and all them something and enough Rasta gravitate towards him and certain little vibes, you know, and we see over the years, every time election had come around, them use some little Rasta thing. You know, for one ease certain.
But each year the Rasta gets stronger.
Yeah. Well now we see where the Rasta them are gonna march for the ganja. I don't know why I'm gonna call it million man one 100,000 man march. We now clone America with a million man march.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing where woman man picking everybody up a march. We
sure,
now
sure.
Say you know, we see them up with 1,000 man march. You know, we are say the rest of them are say, well, right now, it's years now. We are telling us say this thing here, nah, do nothing. You know, just glow we make we just use it for where we did I use it for years, which is a little sacrament, you know, in the culture, you know. So the man them are gonna march for that. How the man them see that? You think say, or you see that? Anybody ever, like a group of people, right, for instance, we hear about this cigarette company in Arizona, where I make cigarette. Right. And this brethren who making the cigarette them, him say, one of him thing, him did ship, him did send, must say a pound of ganja, go give the president, with the intention that them other, it would draw attention to him, that he would have to go to the courts to make it open.
This is, I've talked with Ron Kaczynski a number of times.
Oh yeah, I'm named Ron Kaczynski.
Also, he is one of the collaborators and partners of Dr. Brooks Kelly. They're close friends and work together all the time.
I had him on the program.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a good man to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has forward vision.
He called me just before he went on your show.
Oh, he called. Yeah. All right. So he did make some protests then.
Right.
That means you have people who in America make protests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Jamaica, it's some little individual man, what I just say, like Peter Tosh.
Right.
Peter Tosh should have gone up on the stage with a spliff and sing the tune name, legalize it.
Right.
And police are in the audience, but him still do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the first concerted effort by the Rasta now, where the mouse said now, make the whole of we now get whole feet.
Well, I've heard lots of rumblings about how the Jamaicans thirsting to free up something after they freed up Mandela almost by themselves from this part of the world. Mm. Their voice was loud and clear and well thanked by the people in South Africa aid in the struggle.
Sure.
The Jamaicans just need another something to go after. Go after. I don't know why they're not going to go and free up the herb, because if they can do that, they could really do something.
Say,
it'd be a lot harder, of course.
I feel that the government will have to look into it, because now them father country, America, is looking into it.
True.
Because that is how it's going on. If them sneeze, we catch cold. If America sneeze, we catch cold. You know, so it's like, because we see, we're even in California, you know, that are going, and we see where some man make cigarette in Arizona. So little steps I take.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things about America I don't like. I don't like the part where some people think we're the world's policemen, you know. I don't love that police business like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other parts of America that I love. I was recently reminded by Mr. Perry Hensel about how the Americans came and were rebels from the other part of the world. They didn't want tyranny. Mm-hmm. And they left and they came to America and they had their revolution and it worked. But we still have those same blood is there. Like you have your Maroons who went up and said, we're not going to go for the slavery no more.
Yeah.
Same thing happened in America, and our roots are revolutionary roots.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that our country is one that if you press the truth long enough in our legal system, the truth will come out and good something will happen. I believe that there are strong people in America who are pushing the truth that it's going to happen now. And even in America, we're going to be growing industrial hemp again for very long.
I feel
so. So there's no reason why Jamaica has to wait for somebody to do something.
Because the leaders in Jamaica see America as the beginning and end of them economical wars. That is how them look on it.
But there's a lot of good things that can happen to the marriage between the two countries. But of course, there's a lot of bad things that happen too. But you have to sort them out.
Yeah.
We love the people in Jamaica. We know that when we see your coin where it says out of many, one people, that we believe that this is what it is about the world. We're all going to end up
eventually. Well, that is the same thing in America. You see, your view of that and my view of that are totally different views.
Well, let's talk. Maybe we're not so far apart.
Yeah, because here what all. It's American thing that, you know, that many word, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it depend on the money. I think it depend on the money.
Right.
The Latin term feed.
Uh-huh.
Right. You see, we in Jamaica, I can explain something to you about we in Jamaica now, especially we as Rasta.
Uh-huh.
Rasta say, out of one, many came, not out of many one.
Uh-huh.
Because that is a disrespect to the population of Jamaica, where 90% of the population is of African descent. So for come now, come say, out of many is one. It's like saying, no, you are disregarding the 98% of the population who the many is
actually the one.
Which is the one where I said, which is like a 2% come out. You know, so we totally see that disrespect, Mato.
Well, we've been kind of wondering a little bit about you, Muta, as to whether or not you're some kind of racist.
Me?
When we hear you talk like that.
Yeah, all right. You know, when we talk about racism now, to me, I can't affect white people's ability to survive in America. So I wouldn't say. Racism to me is power. I don't have no power over you, nor this man, nor that man.
Right.
So I wouldn't say, if I talk for myself as a person who is dealing with my history, my culture, and way of life, I could have never seen myself as a racist. And any man who could have looked at Muta and say him is a racist, he might have to check if him is a racist.
That's true.
Because
I've been saying that.
Every time a man talk about for him way, culture, him feel say you're anti that. If I am pro-black, it don't mean I am anti-white.
Well, that's good.
It just means I attack out of my experience and my ancestors' experience. And I see it. But because I am more assertive with what I say. A man that say, Ratty, this man is so like a racist. But you see, you might have to check what is racism.
Well, you know, we believe that the human community is one.
Yeah.
So many are one.
Mm.
We believe we are the same. We are the same something. I stand above Kingston and look out from my friend's house from Red Hills, and I know that that's me there. I feel it. When I walk, I see. I know that my human brothers are very close to me. Just a little difference in skin pigment.
Yeah, but the difference in pigs. You see, it's not we create that difference, you know.
What?
It's not we.
The creator.
As black people. No, we are talking about black people now as opposed to white people. It's not black people create that difference, you know. It's a history of slavery create that it's different.
Yeah, but that just happened a short time. I don't know why I have to deal with a short time.
But it's still happening now. It's still happening
now. But still short time business
no,
in creation.
No, but you see, but that affect the whole concept of the human family.
True.
The idea of racism.
A horrible thing.
Yeah, it can't, yeah. And we are saying, no, that it's not me or my four parents create that. It's a set of people who use for them skin over a next man's skin. So when I assert, no, in at this time, my blackness, my Africanness, the person who over there, so no, I was about to be it. How this man rise up now and I talk about him blackness when we was really talking about the humankind. But the humankind was never mentioned when he was over me. When he was over me doing all these things for my four parents and all this, it was never asserted that it was the humankind he was talking about, because history and now, economically, just like the ganja thing. The ganja thing was used by so-called people in the third world long before the people them who claim to them not the first world, you know. And it's in the people them who are the first world make it illegal.
True.
So it's not, if we want to bring it down now, it's not black people or people of color that make it illegal. It's the same people them who perpetuate slavery against the people them of color that make this thing who the people of color used to use be illegal something. So right at this, so it's deal, so racism also exists too, you know. So when I come now and I say, right now, ganja is illegal because this and this and this and that. The same people who didn't make the law now, who institute the law among some people now, like in Jamaica, now, the prime minister and them friend them. When them sit down, they are going to say, but wait, is the slave them want it legal, you know? But what about the slave master? So I'm going to look on the slave master and say, slave master, you want this thing legal? The slave master going to say, well, no, we can get a benefit out of it. Make it legal. Then, it make it legal. So that is what we call racism. Because me never did a preach. Nothing about it more than I said, but me want to use it, you know. That's all me did I say all the while. I said, look here now, just give law me for use it now, man. Me not trouble you if me use it, you know. Me still and me kind of use it. But you are follow the master out there, so. And the master tell you, say, look, I don't make them people they use it, you know. You know, see it. So when me come now, me assert my culture and my way of life. And I say, watch out now, me dead for this. The man turned around and said, what we a racism, dad. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. You start a search your blackness, or you start a search your ganja thing and your God business, and there's racism, dad. And I see. We are talking about.
I have a friend back home, Kent Winery is his name. Mm-hmm. His father recently died. He was quite a man. He was a policeman, actually. Mm. He they're white. Mm. He told his son told me the other day, he said, my father said we're all going to look like Hawaiians anyway, so we might as well get used to it. Mm-hmm. It'll just take a few number of hundreds of years.
Yeah.
We're all going to blend back the same. I hope you can keep your blackness, but you have to watch out because we're all going to come together.
My mom used to tell me, someday we'll all be the same color.
We're just in this little stage right now.
Well, make us say
one truth and one implant.
Because you see me, you know, me love all these theater. We love all these tears still, you know what I mean? The ganja vibes, you know, it's a whole heap of things. And we can't see even in the idea of calling it marijuana.
Right.
You know, we see the racism in tune with it. But as I said before, no man can be racist against the next man if he don't have the power over the next man. You have to have power over the next man for really attack him racially. You know, racial attacks and racist attacks and racial remarks is two different.
True.
Two different things.
I understand.
And even though I can make racial remarks, I have never racistly attacked anyone. You know, see it. Mm-hmm. But I can see the humanness in man. But I have to defend.
Well, we have
my culture, my history, and my future in the whole scheme of things, be so far for always say.
Things are gonna get better. Expect a miracle.
Is doing it. The man them gonna set up any like the man them have the means to which to set up any educational any programs towards helping for push the concept of him being what it's supposed to be in a Jamaica. Only interviews like these, you know, rely on.
We have talked to some particularly bright people. Mm. Just earlier today, we talked with a number of people who are interested in drug education here in Jamaica. Mm. When we go back home, hopefully we'll put Dr. Kelly, who is a computer fanatic, to work with sending his email information down here to the various officials that can educate people on drugs and educate people also on hemp as to how to go about using it. Our organization from Manly, Nebraska are ready and willing and I think able to supply the technical support for anybody who wants to know what it is that they want to know about ganja.
Did you try to make any contact with the officials in the country, or was it that you tried to make contact but you wasn't successful?
No, actually, friends of ours, friends of mine, who I've known for numbers of years, have made contacts with various politicians, and we anticipate that we could have the good fortune to give them information before we leave the island. Hopefully all of the political parties will have access to all of the same information and can make all of their same decisions as to how to handle the problem. We are here but to supply what we think is the truth, whether it's something that some people don't want to hear or it's something that some other people want to hear. But it's the truth, and the more of that we can send to you, the more we know the right decision will be made. So it's just a matter of getting the information to the people who need to know it. There's been lots of people blocking the studies of ganja over the years
in Jamaica,
in America. In lots of places.
Yeah.
But they blocked the study. One of the fields say,
the man that represents any organization in America, you know, don't represent an organization.
Who's that? Do we?
Yeah, representing
organization. I have been involved with various organizations that have tried to decriminalize or legalize marijuana or hemp for more than 25 years. A lot of well-meaning people are working very hard. I'll tell you that the energy level is more now than it has been since the 60s, but the difference between then and now is that people are better educated. We have these people, the deadheads that followed the Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia, he just died. And a lot of those people are very interested in the same Greenpeace kind of something to save the world and save the earth. We see that linking up with Rastas. We see the Native American Indians in America linking up with Rastas. And people, just good people linking up together. And that's why I say this racism question is something that really bothers me, because we keep having the same, well, this is the only way to salvation. This is the only way. You can't get to the Creator or get to heaven unless you do it our way, or unless you be a Rastafarian. I don't believe that's true. The Creator has given many different cultures, many different pictures of Himself and goodness that we know are
We have to solve the racism issues.
Right. More than anything else.
Only part of the illegality of ganja is because of racism.
Of course. So until we get to that place, you know, where we know we're all one somebody, and that when one thing affects one person, it affects somebody else. I only like to work on kinds of deals where everybody wins. I don't like this business where I win, you lose kind of business. There's enough business that goes on where everybody can win that we just need to hook up with those kind of people. I don't like it the other way.
Dr. Kelly, did I say something? You was going to say something?
You asked us what organizations we'd work with?
Yeah, I was wondering if you link with it. The reason why I asked if there's any organization that you link with. Because one would believe one would believe that if you was linked with an organization in America and come down here to really deal with the whole process of the M, industrialization of the M, it would have been very easy for you to have an audience with one of the government people them, you know.
We're Rastas Unite from Manly, Nebraska. The organization worked up with is ourself and anyone else who wants to live that kind of life.
So you don't have no influence outside of your organization then?
Not really. Dr. Kelly has had an organization for many years to study him. And his organization is called what?
Well, when I was a graduate student at the Penn State University, we had because that's the hometown, literally, of Harry Anslinger. Before Harry Anslinger died, he bequeathed 26 cubic feet of his personal notes to the library there on campus. And we started and continued a hemp think tank in that town. Primarily because that's Anslinger's hometown, it's where his personal notes are. So we started a little company called Hemp Products Research Company there, because it was his Anslinger's hometown. And
what's the name of that organization?
Hemp Products Research Company, HPRCO. You spoke earlier of Ron Kaczynski. The reason nobody's messed with Ron is because he hooked up with us not just the only reason, but he's associated with Hemp Products Research Company. He's surrounded himself by the truth. And once you're clothed in the truth, you're bulletproof.
We have a guy that was close to the town of Manly, Nebraska. The closest town is Weeping Water. There was a man there who gave lots of speeches, which we like to follow, and one of his speeches was a Cross of Gold speech, where he said, "The lowliest citizen in all the land, when clothed in the armor of a righteous cause, is stronger than all the hosts of error." Well, we think our causes are righteous. We believe that the truth is the thing that makes us powerful. Dr. Kelly calls it bulletproof. You can't get hurt if you tell the truth, even if you're dead. So we think the cause is righteous. We're not the lowliest citizen in all the land, because we're all on the top. But believe me, people who know truth and push for truth are the strongest of everybody. You have to just make sure that you come together. The isms and schisms seems like they're used to keep good people apart.
One religion stays away from another religion, and one people who see Jah stay away from the other people who see Jah and say they don't know how to get there. The thing is that we just need to know that the things we have are common to all of us, and those things that we are alike about are the things that we should strive to keep going in that direction. And if we can link up all of us together in the world, there's no force, no force that can hold us down.
All right, so what next now for Mr. Kelly and Mr. Smith? After leaving Jamaica, what you do when you go back to your homeland? You go back to your normal work, or you're still...
This is our work.
This is your work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you go back to America now. When you come back now, what you expect to do when you come back after leaving here now? What you expect?
Dr. Kelly will go back to his computers.
No, I'll go back to my wife and my children, but my life will be just like it is.
But he has a room with computers.
All right, so when you come back, what you hope to do when you come back?
When we come back to Jamaica again, or we go back to America?
When I go back to America,
I'm going to get to go out west and see Roger Steffens and Joe Higgs and talk with them for a while. We've talked with some people today about putting together a concert to liberate herb, like the One Love concert.
In Jamaica?
Jamaica.
Yeah.
What day it's for, we don't know, but we spent a portion of earlier today talking with some various people. One of your famous fathers, Lee Scratch Perry. He's talking about it, and I think probably before too long, everybody will get together to do this. You know, like we have like Willie Nelson back in America for the farmers.
They
have the same something here. So our projects are to continue to tell truth and hopefully to liberate the herb in all facets, and then we can go on to the rest of our projects. We're just starting.
Well, I want to say, you know, give thanks to the man them for really tuning in, you know, because, you know, the man them could have really had something else. But as we say, you see, this interview, you know, is like the people, I don't know how much interview you have done since you come here, but I trust me, there's people who will hear this interview who you would never know say you would have reached by coming here and do this. You know, no matter how much interview you do already, this interview here going to be the interview that reach the people in Jamaica, the people, the farmer in the hill, the man in the corner, the youth in the ghetto. All of them thing there, it's them it gonna reach.
It's been our great pleasure to be able to come and to have the opportunity to come and be interviewed by you, and to be heard by we call them the small people, but really the small people are the big.
Yeah, we understand
the people
that.
We love.
And trust me, if a man tell you say him have this tape at this interview, and no say it's on the radio, him tape it because. These interviews is interviews where people play in Italy, Japan. I mean, I do an interview with Dan Taylor, Bob Marley, and I go to America and a man asked about Roger Stephan about the tape, and Roger Stephan said him did have the interview. So I don't know if it's the same night the tape.
Right.
If get it. What I do is if get it. And you have man in England right now where sit down and listen to the cutting edge from tapes where people carry up there. A brethren who supposed to get 20 years too. I was in Albuquerque the other day. I do a One World concert in Albuquerque. And this brethren, him say him live down in Colorado there too. It's the first I go down there to one place named the Eldorado or somewhere. Anyway, him say him supposed to get 20, them hold him with ganja and him liable to get 20 years for this thing. And I talked to him in Albuquerque and him say, him hear me attack to Diana Ross, the interview. Him say, me attack to Diana Ross. And I say, but that a Tuesday, which was the Saturday was the show, you know. Yeah. I was sure you heard going, you know. It's Saturday, I was doing the One World concert in Albuquerque, you know. And it's a Tuesday, I make a tape and play because I wasn't there with Diana Ross, you know. And this guy in Albuquerque tell me, say, him have that tape there. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I'm going to Nebraska. I'm going to find somebody.
And if you, maybe by the time you reach Nebraska, you see somebody with this tape, yeah, it's so it goes. So we say, you know, we're glad to say the man them could have come and express them things, because I hear some things where, even though I did a read a certain book, you know, I never did really grasp it. So, like, oh, and it's nice to hear the people them who involved in the whole, you know, book business, explain it out, because some people believe in a certain books, and when certain people say it, some people prefer when them hear other people say it. You know, see it? And that is the thing where it grab Rasta in Jamaica. Because Rasta did say it all a while, and nobody never want to accept it. But when no foreigner come now, always from outside of Jamaica, and say the same thing, though, the man say, oh, I saw it go for true. So we didn't really have it just all a while. So we give thanks to the man. Is there any other thing where the two man them did want to say towards the ganja thing, where it's like it slip you? I didn't really. Yeah,
well, we could talk for the next week, and we'll look forward to being able to do that again.
Yeah.
One thing I want to thank you for, Mutu. A long time ago, I saw it at a Sunsplash, and I came and I wanted to buy a book about folk tales of Jamaica.
All right.
And I bought it and put it down, and someone else got it. And I remember I came to town, and you didn't have one, and I paid you for the book. It was like maybe $3 or $5, something like that, but you didn't have it. I ended up getting it in the mail. I remember when I looked at it, it cost you about $30 US
to send it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It cost more to send it.
You lost a lot of money on that deal.
Yeah. No, we never lose the money, but you would have done tell us that we never send it already. You know,
yes,
so we
will
go to the federal now. It costs more than all the book it costs. But we said, why? You know, the man want it. So,
yeah
man, we're glad to remember these things.
Yeah,
give thanks.
I always remember that.
Yeah, give thanks. Anyway, yeah, as we said, this is the next interview, and we hope the people them was tuning in and listening, because we find that them things are very important and interesting for the people at Jamaica for hear. Whether good or bad, whether you accept it or not, these things must be heard, because them never used to tell you these things. And we did have so much, we did have radio station in Jamaica, I do certain things, but them never express these things. So we glad, so we did have the opportunity for really break these things to the people. Yeah, man. Ari.
Grove Broadcasting Company wishes to remind the public that the views expressed on Cutting Edge do not necessarily reflect those of the company.
I'm young, and I don't know a lot of things, but when it comes to reggae music, Irie FM is number one.
Snow, 92, but no, 102, but no, 105.5, yeah, man.
Cigarette smoking is dangerous. Dangerous. Hazard to your head. Does that mean anything to you?
Them legalize marijuana. Right here in Jamaica, yeah. Them say it cure glaucoma. Yeah.
know you're taking.